So we're doing Psachim. We're up to somewhere around the bottom of Kuf Alef Amud Alef. There's an important Tosfot which I don't think we saw last time. The Gemara had quoted from Abaye that his Rebbe, Rabba, would always go like Rav when there was a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. He would do everything like Rav, except for three exceptions. What are the three exceptions? One is, and we're holding like six lines from the bottom, it says, Kol mili demar ha-ve'avid ki-rav le-bar mehan-itlat de-avid ki-shmuel. These are the three exceptions where Rabba went like Shmuel. Number one is matirin mi-beged le-beged, that you could take tzitzis from one garment and transfer them to another garment. That's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And Rabba used to go like Shmuel, he would be lenient and permit one to transfer tzitzis from one garment to another. Umadlikin miner lener, and when you light the Hanukkah candles, you don't need a shamish in between the candles, but you may light directly from one candle to another candle. In the Hanukkah candles, you could just lean the candles over and light from one to the other. That's a machlokes in the laws of Hanukkah, and he was lenient like Shmuel that that's permissible. And number three is v'alacha k'Rabbi Shimon begreira. Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to dragging. Titania, for we have the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon omer, Rabbi Shimon says, gorer adam, a person may drag mita kiseh v'safsal, a bed, a chair, a bench, b'shabbat on Shabbos, even though as he's dragging it in the earth, he's making a furrow, and that's pretty clear that's what's going to happen, but he has no intent for that furrow to be dug. That's called a davar she'eino mitkaven. He's doing an action, but the point of the action is something completely different. There's a byproduct outcome, but that's not his focus. That's a davar she'eino mitkaven. He's doing it without the intent for that to get done. And when it comes to actions like that, so Rabbi Shimon says that's mutar lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda says that's asur, that's rabbinically prohibited. So in this area, Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Shimon, that one may drag a bench, even though you're making a furrow in the earth, being that that's not your intent, that's permissible. So in this, Rabba was lenient like Shmuel, that he permitted davar she'eino mitkaven b'Shabbat. He permitted things like this on Shabbos. You guys with me? Lechatchila, what? Lechatchila meaning even in an ideal sense. If you'd ask me, could I do it? Initially, I'd say, yeah. Even before b'di'evit means after I've done it, is it right, is it wrong? That's b'di'evit. B'di'evit literally means once I've already done it. Lechatchila means from the beginning. If you come to me and ask me, should I do that? So yes, you're allowed to do that. That's so that's the third area of leniency that he would go like Shmuel. Yes?
I understood the concept, but I got lost in the names.
Davar she'en mitkaven.
I wrote down the Hebrew term, but who holds by what?
Rabbi Shimon is lenient, okay, and permits it lechatchila. Shmuel ruled like Rabbi Shimon. Our whole discussion is that Rabba always went like Rav, and in this instance he went like Shmuel, that he was lenient and permitted it lechatchila. Again, Rabbi Shimon permits lechatchila, Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabba went like Shmuel, who paskin like Rabbi Shimon in this instance. This is the third instance.
Like,
as opposed to going like Rav, who forbade it rabbinically, who went with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Meaning there's a machlokes tanaim, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav went with Rabbi Yehuda, prohibited it. Shmuel went with Rabbi Shimon, permitted it lechatchila on Shabbos. And in this, Rabba too went with Shmuel and permitted it, uvilvad shelo itkaven lasot charit, provided that the intent is not to make the furrow. That's not your point here. Now, Tosfos asks the following question. Tosva says, when do we say that Rabba would always go like Rav? When the machlokas is solely between Rav and Shmuel. But let's say we had three opinions arguing. We would have Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. So we know, we discussed previously, that Rabbi Yochanan is more powerful than Rav and Shmuel put together. You remember we said, Rav and Shmuel, we don't go like Rabba. We say the general rule in halacha is, the halacha is like Rav in Isurim. The halacha is like Shmuel on monetary matters. What happens if Rav Yochanan is in the picture? Rav Yochanan is a knockout punch. He beats both of them. Rav Yochanan, who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, Rav Yochanan, who had 10 children who all died in his lifetime, Rav Yochanan, who was extraordinarily beautiful, the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish, he is the powerhouse opinion, and he will always win, unless we have other opinions in the story. But generally, if it's a question of Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan would win. Now, Rav Yochanan told us a rule, which the Talmud applies throughout, and that is halacha kestam mishnah. Rav Yochanan says, anytime you find the mishnah plainly stated, I side with that. That's the way I rule halachically. So now you have a very, very powerful opinion siding with every stam mishnah. We discussed previously that stam mishnah, mishnah that's plainly stated, without attributing the opinion to any specific opinion, that's already a very powerful weight halachically. Now we have another weight. And Tosfos quotes that we have a stam mishnah that seems to say that davar she'eino miskaven is permitted. The mishnah says a nazir may shampoo his head. He's allowed to scratch his head. Hairs might come out, and a nazir is prohibited from shaving any hair. But that's davar she'eino miskaven. That's not his intent. So Tosfos says, being that that's a stam mishnah, and Rav Yochanan rules like every stam mishnah, so then in this instance, the area of davar she'eino miskaven doesn't fall into the category. It's not a classical machlokes Rav and Shmuel that we would say in this instance, look, Rabba went with Shmuel's opinion against Rav. Over here, there's also Rav Yochanan weighing down against Rav, because there's a mishnah that's plainly stated that indicates that davar she'eino miskaven is permitted. Just like the nazir, he's shampooing his hair. Well, when you got really long hair, so when you shampoo and you scratch your head, so some hairs are going to come out, and that's permitted, because that's a davar she'eino miskaven. That's what the mishnah says. And then Rav Yochanan would seem to side with that mishnah. So Tosfos asks, how come this is one of the three examples where we say Rabba sided with Shmuel's opinion? Over here, it would seem that Rav Yochanan is also on that side of the scale, and doesn't that count differently? How do you count that as one of the three instances that Rabba sides with Shmuel? And Tosus's answer requires which Tosus? Tosus v'alachak Rabbi Shimon, the third to the last Tosus. Short Tosus, but he gives us a very interesting concept. He says, maybe not all davar she'eino miskaven are created equal. He says, maybe there are areas where you don't mean for it to happen, but it's more clear it's going to happen. And then there are areas that you don't mean for it to happen, and it's less clear it's going to happen. And Tosus is playing with fire, because technically, once it becomes clear it's going to happen, then it becomes a psik ratio. Psik ratio is you cut off the head, of course the animal's going to die. You can't say, well, I didn't mean for it to die. What do you mean? That's what you did. Meaning there are actions that we say are psik reishe v'lo yomos. You cut off the head, it's not going to die. So there we don't say davar she'eino miskaven. Tosa says, yes, but maybe dragging a stool is just before the border. Maybe when you drag a bench, it's almost for sure you're going to have a furrow there. Maybe that's already on the border of a psik reishe. Whereas a nazir scratching his head, well, it's not so clear he's going to pull out a hair at any given moment. So Tosus what?
Imagine that would last for the first time before someone actually knows. Once they know,
I don't know.
The
question is the likelihood. The likelihood, meaning the Mishnah in the end of Beit Zev discusses if you want to scratch your animal. The animal has boils or blisters or whatever, and you want to give it some pleasure on Yom Tov. So you're going to take your rake and start scratching its back. And the animal's in seventh heaven, it's enjoying itself. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says it depends. If you're going to use a wooden tool to scratch its back, So a wooden tool, every time you scratch its back, the likelihood that you'll actually wound the animal, that you'll pop one of the blisters or boils or whatever, cause it to bleed, is very unlikely. Is it true that by the time you finish scratching its back, it's likely to have some blood on its back? Yes. But every time you scratch, more than likely it won't have blood on its back. So that's permissible.
Each action is not so clear
it's going to bring out blood. But if you take a metal rake and start bringing it across its back, so even though the animal is going to be dancing and kissing your hands and so happy that you're scratching its back well for it, but it's almost clear that right now you're going to cause bleeding. So the Mishnah already goes into, okay, when do we say it's psik reisha, when not? Comes Tosfos and gives us another discernment that, as far as I know, doesn't appear in the Shas. He says, when you enter Davar Sheino Miskaven, maybe there's more room to differentiate between this Davar Sheino Miskaven and a different Davar Sheino Miskaven. So Tosfos over here is opening a can of worms. Now, we should just realize how applicable this Tosfos is in this whole sugiya. Let's take three examples. I think we discussed it. Didn't we discuss Davar Sheino Miskaven and an air conditioning? Yeah? There's if you have air conditioning in a home. Mm-hmm. Did we discuss this? No.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, you have air conditioning in a home. You walk into that home, so all the hot, humid air comes in. More than likely, the air conditioning, the thermostat's going to kick in. It's going to turn on. So do we say you're not allowed to open the door? You're not allowed to walk in or out of the house? We say that's okay, because by the time it affects it, it's far off.
Can we get that from this
Tosfos? Oh, so no, we don't get it, but Tosfos is touching on this concept. Meaning, this concept needs definition. We have to realize how applicable it is. The second thing we have is, let's say you open an oven. You have an oven that's on a thermostat. So when you're going to open the oven door, so within about 2 seconds, the oven cools off, and the oven's going to turn on again. So that's very clear that you shouldn't open the oven door when the oven's off, for sure. When the oven's on, could be it's okay. We're talking about, let's say, Yom Tov. And then we have a middle case. Middle case would be your fridge. You open the fridge door, so it warms up a little bit. Depending on the fridge, we'll define how fast is it likely that the fridge is going to kick in. And so the halacha discusses, everyone agrees you can't open an oven door that's going to turn on within a second or two. That's pretty much a given in halacha. Everyone agrees you could open the door to your house, even though the air conditioning is going to kick in at some point because you got the house a little hotter. And then the discussion revolves around the refrigerator. That's why today here in Israel, they make all these refrigerators that have a Shabbos setting where basically you're shutting off the thermostat. You're putting it on a timer where it turns on and off irrespective of how hot and cold it is. It's just it's going on to a timer. That's one of the things the Shabbos mechanisms do. But it's not so clear that's necessary, because it's not clear that the cause and effect are so close that should be prohibited, opening a fridge door. So that's just Tosfos here is introducing us to a whole sugiya of how close does it have to be that your action is going to have a reaction for it to become a psik reisha. And what Tosfos is doing is really introducing us to stringency, because until Tosfos we understood there's the realm of psik reisha. If I do it, then for sure it's going to happen. And then once it's not like that, it's davar sheino miskaven. Tosfos is suddenly saying, no, within the area of Davar Sheino Miskaven, you have areas that are more lenient, you have areas that are more stringent, and that needs work. That's a concept that Tosfos introduces to here. And now we're about to begin another sugiya. We've now basically concluded this sugiya, and we're beginning the sugiya of Shinui Makom. We saw this, we touched on the sugiya with Sugiyav Kiddush Bimkom Suda. And once we discussed that Kiddush has to be in the area where you're going to eat the meal, and then we discussed, can you make Kiddush upstairs and eat the meal downstairs? Can you make it in one corner of the room and go to another corner of the room? Now we're entering another Sugiyah, which is, If I make a blessing here, and I want to go outside and continue eating. If I make a blessing here, and I want to go to the other room and continue eating. Is that permissible? Is it not permissible? We pointed out on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph that Rashi and Rashbam, and we also seem to see that indication from Tosfos, they all seem to learn that Shinui Makom, the whole idea of that when I leave this place and go to another place, I might require a new blessing, that's all under the heading of Hesech Hadat. Rashi had spelled it out, Rashbam had spelled it out, Tosfos indicated it, that the whole question here is, am I still focused on what I was doing beforehand? Or do I say that when I hear Kiddush and Shul, and I sip from the wine, and then I go home, I lost my concentration, and now that's Hesech Hadat. So we saw the European poskim, if we can call them that, the Balei HaTosfos, the Rashi, the what's called Chachmei Ashkenaz, they seem to learn that Shinui Mokom, switching a place, switching a location, is just under the heading of Hesech Hadas. Have I lost my focus? Yes? So far so good?
Wait, they say you did?
They say that the whole sugya, whenever we discuss Shinui Makom, what we're really discussing is a type of Hesech Hadat.
But did they say that you did this?
So that's the whole discussion. That's what we're in the middle of. Everyone here is Ashkenazi, right? So no one here is a Sfardi or Temani. So we won't spend too much time on it, but you should just be aware that there is the Rambam's opinion, which is the opinion of the Sfardi poskim. The Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rambam. And that is that Shinui Makom is its own entity. It's not really a type of Hesech Hadat. It's a separate problem called Shinui Makom. You made a blessing here, that doesn't help you there. Totally different concept. It's not a question of Hesech Hadat. It's not a question of, have I lost focus? If I want to drink some water here and then I'm going to go to the machon and continue drinking 10 minutes later over there. Well, if I remain focused, what are you telling me, Hesech Hadat? I was still focused. No. According to the Rambam, it's a different, it's a totally different concept. You made a blessing here, it doesn't work for over there. Avdallah?
No.
What does Avdallah have to do with it? We're talking about Birkata Neninna. I'm making a blessing on something I'm enjoying here, and I'm going there. We saw the concept of Kiddush Minkom Suda. That was where we started the idea of Shinui Makom. But now we're entering a realm that the discussion for the next daf and a half, is going to revolve around a general discussion. When I make a blessing here, can I continue there? Shinui Makom, when I'm switching locations. So the
what we're going to be looking at from is the perspective of Rashi, Rambam, Tosfot, which says...
Not Rambam. Rambam is the deferring opinion.
Rashbam,
yeah.
Rashbam, is that it's an issue of...
Hesech Hadat.
Hesech Hadat. Hesech Hadat. Yeah. Which is a loss of concentration. Like
yeah.
Concentrated. So it's partly changing a physical location combined with how concentrated you are.
They say the assumption is that once you move, you've lost your concentration. But let's hold off because...
So concentration related to movement.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they view movement as a type of loss of concentration.
Okay.
But let's hold off because one of the questions we're going to have to ask is... So let's say I'm on a bus. Every minute I'm moving, right? I'm on a horse. I'm moving every minute. I'm going for a stroll in a garden, and I want to pick fruits and eat. So what do I say then? And we're going to have to discern between a situation where I'm under one roof in one house and when I'm walking outside. So then, okay, well, what if I'm under the roof, but I'm planning on walking outside, right? I want to go on a trip. I want to chew gum. I want to suck on a candy. I make a blessing here. How could I walk around sucking on a candy every minute I'm going somewhere else? So we'll get to that. But we have to start with square one and work our way up. So we'll get there. Yeah, use them.
The examples keep focusing on the change being in a place. The change is only in the concentration. Like, for example,
we're not
if someone falls asleep at the table and they wake up again.
It's a good question. The Gemara does discuss that, but not here. Not now.
So that's not the same.
There are similarities, especially according to Rashi and Tosfos, according to the opinion we Ashkenazim go with, that the Rama goes with, that it's all a factor of concentration, then yes, there are more similarities. You're right. Yeah. But the, even that, the Gemara is going to go into, we'll get to it, depending on how deep your sleep is. The Gemara says there's mitnam nim and there's yashin. Wow. Who's dozing off? What?
And who's there with you?
Oh, and who's there with you? Oh, you already learned. Now, Yonatan did something very smart, which I recommend you all do. He zoomed forward a little bit, so he knows where we're headed. It's always a good thing, even if you don't understand every point of the sugiyot, if you can prepare by reading forward 10 pages, take an art scroll, sit down for an hour and a half, and just read forward. Get an idea of where we're headed. It'll help you, even if you don't understand every point. Okay, so let's begin the sugiyah. And the truth is, I wanted us to focus on this today, because to pause for a week and then start again next week is going to be a little tough, but I don't think we're going to have much of a choice. Okay, so let's begin.
Keep your concentration, that's okay.
There you go. V'Rav Yochanan Amar. So we start the sugiya with a quote from Rabbi Yochanan, and we remember that Rabbi Yochanan is a very powerful opinion. If you recall, we had discussed when you make kiddush in shul, when they make kiddush on behalf of everyone in shul, can you continue drinking wine at home when you get home? So we brought one opinion that you're yotze kiddush, but you weren't yotze the bekata ne'enim. You want to drink wine at home, you have to make a new blessing. We went with the opinion that said you're not even yotze kiddush because you need kiddush b'mkom suda. Kiddush has to be at the place where you're going to eat. The whole reason we make kiddush in shul is for all those guests who are staying in shul and eating. But for the rest of us, when we get home, we have to make a new kiddush, we have to make a new borei pri hagafen. We're not yotze anything with the kiddush in shul. So that's the opinion we went with halachically. But Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, Rav Yochanan amar, af yedei yayin nami yatsu. Rav Yochanan says, when you hear kiddush in shul, you go back home, you could keep drinking your wine, you don't need a new borei pri hagafen. And we explained it last time, that most people, when they're standing in shul, at the end of davening, their mind's already on the meal. That's where their focus is. He said, when you hear kiddush and shul, it's very nice. You say good Shabbos to everyone. But we all know where our stomachs are headed and our minds are after our stomachs. And we said there is a logic that we could understand that when you hear kiddush and shul, your mind goes from there to the meal. And even though you're taking many steps in the middle, that's your focus. That's where you're headed. So Rav Yochanan says, when you hear kiddush and shul, af yedei nami yatsu. You've also fulfilled your obligation of the birkot ha'ne'enim, of borei pri hagafen for the wine that you'll drink when you get back home. V'az da Rav Yochanan letamei, Rav Yochanan is going with his line of reasoning. Ta'amar v'chan baraba amar bipedat amar Rav Yochanan. We have the following quote in the name of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan taught, echad shinu yain, ve'echad shinu makom. Now we're up to the Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Doesn't matter whether you brought in a better wine. We have... if you switched from wine to wine, if you switched from place to place, you don't have to make a new blessing on the wine. Now the Gemara is going to disprove Rabbi Yochanan. I'll ask you a question. The Braisa says, Shinui makom tzarich levarech. If you switched places, you have to make a new bracha. Shinu yayin, but if you switched wines, en tzarich levarech, you don't have to make a new blessing of borei pri hagafen. Says the Gemara, Tuvta Rav Yochanan, Tuvta. Rav Yochanan's been disproved. So Rav Yochanan's opinion was just knocked out. You'll notice Rav Yochanan said two things though. And on one point he was right. He said if you switch wines in the middle of the meal, you don't have to make a new blessing of borei pri hagafen. The rabbis instituted a blessing of Hatova Meitiv. Today it's not clear when we say it, when we don't say it. But let's say you're sitting at the meal and you have one wine at the meal. And in the middle of the meal, you suddenly remember, hey, I have in a back cellar, I have this ancient wine I've been saving for this Sheva Brachas, for this meal, for this Yom Tov. I'm going to go open that barrel of wine. You bring out the keg, you open it up, everyone drinks it. Ah, this is so much better than the wine we've been drinking until now. So you just brought out better wine. So the rabbis instituted a blessing of praise to Hashem. It's not Birkot HaNe'enim. It's not like borei pri hagafen. You're not making a blessing over the fact that you're eating something. You're making a blessing of praise, thanking Hashem that He gave you something better now. So when he says when you change wines, that does not require a blessing. He means you do not need to make a new blessing of borei pri hagafen. But if it's a better wine, you do make a tov ha'metiv. Okay. Yeah.
When you make tov ha'metiv,
Like, if it's clearly a better wine, would you say Hashem's name? And then if it's not, like, it looks like it's clear, it's a better wine, but you're not so sure, then you leave Hashem's name out?
So, there are many details. Meaning, the question is, was it in front of you when you made Kiddush?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It starts getting complicated. That's why I said, if it's in a back cellar, some say, did you have in mind you're going to drink it when you made the Bar Piagaf? And that's why I said, you didn't have it in mind, you suddenly remembered you had in the back cellar. I purposely worded it that way, because then you enter a realm where it's more clear that you can make Atov HaMetiv with God's name. Okay. Yativ Rav Idi Bar Avin Kameid Rav Chista. Rav Idi Bar Avin sat in front of Rav Chista. Yativ Rav Chista V'kamal Mishmed Rav Huna. And Rav Chista sat down and taught the following in the name of Rav Huna. Ha De'amrit Shinui Makom Tzarich Levarech. That which we said, that when you switch locations, that requires a new blessing, that requires you to make another blessing on the wine, or another blessing on the food you're eating. Lo shanu ela mibayit lebayit. That's only from house to house. If you switched from one house to another house, then you have to make a new blessing. Aval mimakom lemakom lo. But if you switched from place to place, then you do not have to make a new blessing. How does that work? So, if you look, the simple reading here is that anything that's less than a house to house, then you don't have to make a blessing. So then, from the attic to the next floor, even though for Kiddush bin Kom Suda, regarding Kiddush, that's not considered that you made Kiddush in the place you're eating, as we saw earlier. But for a blessing, it's okay. Here there's a discussion in the Rishonim. What does it mean? First of all, some say that, you see on the left side, they say the Marsha says, mipina lepinalo, only from corner to corner. When he says, mibayit lebayit lo, or mimakom lemakom lo, from place to place is not considered a change. Does that mean from place to place in one room? Or from place to place in one house? Where does this come up a lot? Sukkahs. Yeah. You make a blessing inside the sukkah, you want to go into the house. Did you change places? Do you need another blessing? You made a blessing inside the house, you want to go out to the sukkah. How does that work?
It's not the same as the Kiddush and Shul example.
Oh, the Kiddush and Shul could also be a problem. Depends on where they make Kiddush and where they eat the Kiddush. You know, so here it says from place to place is not a problem, and that's a machlokas rishonim. So we're lenient, especially today when we eat. We have in mind a lot of things. Meaning, we move. We don't eat in one place. The Ran says in their day, no one sat in one place when they were drinking their cup of wine. You're walking all around the house. I don't know how many rooms their houses had, but in the Ran's time, they already had mansions. We know. We still have buildings from that time.
What
time was that? The Ran was about 700 years ago.
Where?
The Ran was in Spain. He was in...
That's the golden age, so...
I've seen people argue about the actual seat that they sit in order to say, like, the Efter Bracha.
No, within 4 footsteps is fine. Anywhere within 4 footsteps is the same. It's no difference. You don't have to sit in the same seat. Most of the table is within 4 footsteps.
Right.
Okay. Amale Rav Idi Bar Avin. So Rav Idi Bar Avin said to Rav Chista, "Hachi tenin elan b'manita. Hey, there's a brisa just like you, the Bei Rav Heinak, v'amila b'manita the Bei Bar Heinak. This is a brisa we learned either by Rav Heinak or the son of Heinak. We learned a brisa kavatech just like you." Vela Ravuna Matnita Kamashmaran, was Ravuna coming to tell us a Braisa? Ravuna Matnita lo shmiale. Ravuna didn't hear, he never heard that Braisa. So that's not a question on Ravuna. Ravuna said his halacha, and it turns out there was a Braisa just like him, and the Rashbam here says the Amoraim didn't have a handle on every Braisa that was out there. Very often the Gemara quotes a Braisa that the Amora never heard of, and this is a good example. Vetu yativ v'chista. So, and furthermore, Rav Chista sat and taught the next halacha, v'kama mishmei d'nafshei. And he said the following halacha in his own name. So the first halacha we saw was, from place to place is not considered shinui makom, We said practically over here, that's within one house in our day and age, that's not called Shinui Makum. There's a discussion, what happens if you have a neighbor who you often visit? Let's say every meal you eat dessert together. Let's say every meal you offer him some of your wine, he offers you some of his wine. Can you go across the hall? You're leaving your house. It says from house to house is no good. So that's a discussion in halacha. Meaning there's room to be stringent, there's room to be lenient. If you know you're always doing it, so then we enter the realm that Yehuda pointed out in the beginning. Well, what if I know I'm going to do it? It's part of what I'm thinking of. So, okay. That's you should just realize that's a question that's discussed. So now Rav Chisda was sitting and he said his own quote now. That which we said that when you switch locations, you have to make a blessing. Lo amaran ela bedvarim she'en tunin beracha lachehen b'mkoman. We didn't say that only about things that do not require an after blessing in their place. Aval dvarim atunin beracha lachehen b'mkoman. But if you ate something that requires you to make an after blessing in that very location you ate it, en tzarich levarech. Then you don't have to make a new blessing. My time, what's the logic here? Lekiva kama adal. You always know you're going back to where you started. If you made a motzi, you know you have to come back here to make an after blessing. So Rav Chisda says, if you know you have to come here to make an after blessing, even if you walked out to your sukkah or you walked somewhere else, you're always revolved around that same hamotzi. You can't say, well, I'm not focused anymore. Shinui makom, I switched places. What do you mean you switched places? You know you still got to go back and bench. So you're still within that focus. So you could make a motzi here, you go to the machon, you continue eating your bread there. All of this is bidyevet, by the way. Lechatchila, you're not supposed to switch places once you started eating. Make an after blessing here, go there, you want, make a new blessing there. And make. But if let's say it happened, you're sitting here, your ride just showed up. You made a motzi, you ate the first half of your sandwich, and suddenly he's honking outside. So you run out into the car, now you want to continue your sandwich. So technically, you don't have to make a new blessing. You're still lechatchila. You should come back, but if you can't come back, you won't come back. But you're still bound, and the fact that you're bound means that that blessing holds. Now, this opinion of Rav Chisda, according to Rashi and Rashbam, it goes on all seven species. It's not only bread. He says, when is it that you lose your blessing? That's when you ate some fruits. You ate an apple, and then you walked outside. So you don't have to come back to make an after blessing on an apple. So then you lost your focus, you lost your blessing. But if you ate a piece of cake, or you took a cup of wine, or a pomegranate, or anything that has one of the seven species, so then you need a more serious blessing. You'd come back to make that blessing. So even though halachically we don't force you to come back, but still at the end of the day, you're still focused. It's a more serious blessing. It's not just a boring nefashos. So you didn't lose it. And us Ashkenazim, we paskin like Rav Chisda. That's what we said. Rashi, Rashbam. There are 2 points of argument between the Rambam and the Ashkenazi poskim. One point is, how do we quantify Shinui Makom? Is Shinui Makom its own problem? You switched places. Or is it under the heading of Hesech Hadat? That was what we discussed earlier. The second question is this. What Rav Chisda says, does Shinui Makom apply in areas where you have a serious after blessing? The seven species or Hamotzi? Rav Chisda says no. Goodbye. Shinui Makom doesn't apply here. Yes? He says you hold on to your blessing. Rav Sheshes comes and disagrees.
I have a question.
Okay.
So you said about the apple. So if you take the apple with you?
Doesn't help. Right? The question arises, just like I could suck on a candy and walk around and pick apples in an orchard, what happens if when I make the blessing, I know I'm going to go for a walk? I shouldn't be worse off than if I made the blessing and was eating in the street, walking down the street, right? That's where you start having room to be lenient. Meaning, we said if you left your house, you lost your place. So that's only true if you made the blessing thinking I'm going to eat here. But if you made the blessing thinking I'm going for a walk and eating this apple, you made the blessing as you're about to leave the house. You take your bottle of water and you're drinking. So long as you keep drinking and you're within sight of where you started, you're okay. Mm-hmm. The issue is when you stop drinking, you're riding your bike, you're around the corner, and now you're in a different location, you've stopped your eating, you've had a shinui makom, you don't have a continuum of eating or drinking, and then you have a problem continuing without making a new blessing. If you pop a candy into your mouth, so you're constantly eating, you're constantly continuing what you did. But if it's not that, you're drinking. So then every time you drink and round the corner, you got a problem. It doesn't help that you say, well, I had in mind. You can't have in mind to encompass different places. You could have in mind to continue as you go. But that also needs better definition, meaning we're covering here many, many sugiyot. And obviously, if you're trying to cover many sugiyot on one foot, you're not going to do a good job. So we're getting a taste. Let's see the other opinion.
It requires you to be very honest with yourself. Yeah?
What do you mean?
If you do have it in mind, it's okay. If you don't, it's not okay.
Well, you need two things. You have to have it in mind, and you also have to be within sight of where you started eating, or continuously eating, one or the other. Meaning, if you're in an orchard, you made a blessing, you took a bite, and you stopped eating as you walked, but you can still see the place where you started, you could continue eating. Because that's not shinui makom, because you didn't make a blessing in this house, you made a blessing knowing you're going to walk around the orchard eating. But that only works so long as you have one of two things. Either you're constantly eating, or you're within sight of where you started. But if you have neither, so then you lost your blessing. You have to make a new bori priyat.
If you have a bag of dried fruit, let's say.
Right. So long as you're eating or within sight, one or the other. You need one or the other. It gets complicated. But then we come to Rav Sheshis' opinion, which is how the Rambam and the Sfaradim and the Shulchan Aruch paskin. Rav Sheshis Amar, Rav Sheshis says, Rav Sheshis, by the way, was blind. Rav Sheshis said, be it a food that requires an after blessing in its place, be it a food that does not require an after blessing in its place, doesn't matter. They're all the same. They all require you to make a new blessing. You left the place, I don't care. So Sfaradim run into trouble Sukkah's time. You make a bar priyats in the Sukkah, you go out of the Sukkah, what are you going to do?
Washing their hands.
Washing hands is a totally different sugya. This is, we're dealing with Bukot and Eni.
So,
is it connected to the same thing?
It's a little different. It's not exactly. It's not... No.
Why do you say it's a problem? You just can make it
work. It's a little complicated. You sit in the sukkah, your wife calls you, you go into the house, you come back out, you have to make a new blessing again. Okay.
is that the problem you're saying? Is
well, lechatchila, you're not supposed to make 100 blessings.
But according to this.
No, according to this, if you did it, you make another blessing, but you're not supposed to run into that. So now we have the two. Yeah.
Sorry, but we are supposed to make 100 blessings a day. You meant like metaphysically, we're not supposed to say like repetitively blessings.
Right.
But we are supposed to make 100 a day. Right?
You're supposed to make 100 a day, but not just cause them unnecessarily.
Okay.
You drink a cup of water, you make a bar nefashis, 5 minutes later you drink another cup of water, you make again a shakal. That's not the way to go.
Yeah, but if you go into the house to take something out, that's not unnecessary.
Right. You just have to remember that we say safek brachos lahakel. When in doubt, you don't make another blessing. This is a big machlokas. Rambam, Rashi, Rashbam, Tosfos.
You said
Shulchan Aruch goes with Rambam. I don't know halacha lemaisa if Sfaradim take that psak as 100%. Us Ashkenazim, and here's another question. The poskim discuss under one roof. Is one roof what matters? I'm in this apartment building. The whole apartment building is one roof. No. My apartment. So is it the roof or is it the walls? If it's the walls, what about my front yard? What about if my sukkah's in my front yard and my front yard's encased with walls? So then, do I say, well, you left the walls of your house, so now you're going to the sukkah, you got to make a new blessing. Or do I say, no, you're still encased. You're encased with the walls of your yard. So this is, again, an area of question. Especially because here you add the point, I know I'm going out to the sukkah, I know I'm going back and forth, as far as if the whole criterion is hesech hadas, the way we Ashkenazim paskin, not like the Rambam, that there's this concept of shinui makom, you switch places, you lost. No, it's all a factor of hesech hadas. Well then, I don't have hesech hadas. I know I'm going out to that sukkah, I know I'm coming back home, I know I'm going back and forth. So these are all areas of doubt, these are all areas of discussion, and that's why when in doubt, we don't make another blessing. Until now, our discussion revolved around the first blessing, the Berachas HaNe'emim. There's another point of discussion which we haven't yet touched upon, but the Gemara will, Bezrat Hashem, next week, and that is, what about Bekat HaMazon? Meaning, is there ever a point where I say, you lost it, and because you lost it, you have to make Bekat HaMazon and start from scratch, make a new first blessing. So we're all the time discussing the first blessing, because we Ashkenazim go with the Ran, we go with the opinion that says, why should you make Bekat HaMazon? Bekat HaMazon could encompass as much as you've eaten. So if you've done something that caused you to have Hesech Hadas and forces you to make a new first blessing, so fine, make a new first blessing, but why should you make benching for nothing? But that's all the way we Ashkenazim go. The Rambam seems to take it differently, but in order to understand the Rambam better, we have to see the next sugiya, which we will see. We just have to realize there is such an opinion that we don't just let you get away with making a new first blessing. We say if you messed it up, you got a bench, and then start from scratch. There is such an opinion, as we will see in the Gemara, and we have to see. There's a Tosfos here on the bottom. There's a lot to discuss. I mean, the Gemara says it. The Gemara is about to tell us, if you left the house, you got a bench, and then start from scratch. Rambam learns that's a must. The Ashkenazi poskim learn that's just good advice. You leave the house, if you don't bench, you're going to forget it. No one's saying you have to bench. That's... Okay, so let's sum up what we saw today. We began with the sugiya of Davar She'eino Mitkaven. We began with Rabbi Shimon's opinion that lechatchila one may do a Davar She'eino Mitkaven, and that Rabba went with Shmuel on that and permitted us to drag a bench even though it's making a furrow, because that's not my purpose. We brought Tosfos that quoted Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan always goes with the Stam Mishnah, and Tosfos quoted that there is a Stam Mishnah in Nazir that says that Davar She'eino Mitkaven is permitted because the Nazir is allowed to scratch his head even though a hair is going to come out. Tosfos said, so how could you say this falls into the realm of a classical machloke as Rav and Shmuel? This is different. You have Rav Yochanan weighing in. So Tosfos said, yeah, but maybe Rav Yochanan, who says by a Nazir it's permitted, that's not as clear that something's going to happen as by dragging a bench. Maybe dragging a bench is closer to a psik ratio. It's more likely that something will happen. And we said Tosfos is opening a can of worms, because until Tosfos we said either it's 100% it's going to happen, that's a psik ratio, or it's not 100%, but it can happen, and that's a davar she'eino miskaven. And so we said Tosfos, in Tosfos we brought in the whole question of air conditioning, opening an oven, and opening a fridge. Then we went on with Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan said, if you change wines or change locations, you don't need a new Bori Priya Gafman, and we disproved Rav Yochanan. So we knocked Rav Yochanan out, but in passing we discussed the blessing of Atova Amitiv. We said Rav Yochanan is right. We do agree with Rav Yochanan that if you get a better wine, you don't need a new Bori Priya Gafman. You don't need a new blessing on the wine, you might need a Atova Amitiv. Then we brought Rav Chista that quoted that the only time you have to make a blessing is if you move from house to house. But from place to place does not require a new blessing. And we asked, what does he mean by from place to place? Does he mean from place to place within a room or from place to place within a house? What's he permitting me to do during the meal? Walk within that same room or walk within the rooms of the house? And we said, those are different opinions among the Rishonim, and we are more lenient. We permit a person to walk around the house during the meal. Whether that's a chatchila or bidyeved, it's hard to say that today that's bidyeved. That's just the way we live. We don't have the kitchen in our dining room, in our... We move around the house. Then we brought a machlokas Rav Chista and Rav Sheshis. Rav Chista said that foods that require a more serious after blessing, we would not be permitted. Those foods that require a more serious after blessing, even if you switched locations, you didn't lose your blessing. And Rav Sheshis says, doesn't matter. You moved, you lost it. And we said, Ashkenazim go with Rav Chista, and Sephardim go with Rav Sheshis. And that's where we're going to have to leave off for today. We'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next week. Sure.